Welcome back, everybody. I'm Colonel Tim Nye here in the Amy Barn in beautiful Pittsfield, Vermont. As always, on my right, I've got Dr. Johnny Waite. I've got the beautiful, lovely young Sephra Alexandra. And I've got a newcomer to the panel over here on my left, Chris Irving. Dr. Johnny, why don't you tell us a little bit about Chris?
Yeah, so Chris is a newcomer to our panel. He may be an unfamiliar face to you, but he's a very familiar face around Vermont. He's been here for death races. Chris has finished the Vermont 100 Ultra Marathon, an accomplished cyclist. If you want to push yourself further and further and further, you're going to get to know Chris real well. Speaking of getting to know real well, who are we going to find out about today?
Well, we're going to be talking with Aubrey Marcus, young man out of Richmond. He doesn't live there anymore. Went to University of Richmond on a philosophy degree, but then somehow transformed himself into this wellness
neurotropic supplements.
Cool. That if you don't know what that means, and I got to tell you, I didn't. That is focusing your brain. So how to get smarter and more focused. So if you're interested in that, tune in and we'll tell you all about it.
Who doesn't want to be smarter?
All right, we are here for Spartan Up Podcast in Calamigos Ranch, Malibu, with Aubrey Marcus from Onnit. Onnit, if you don't know it, it's more than a supplement company, right? Because when you think supplements, at least me, you think whey protein and all that. You guys are like a whole, like a wellness company.
Yeah, I kind of figured that, you know, we call it total human optimization because if you just focus on one thing, you're not going to get there. You know, right. It's a combination of the right supplements, the right nutrition, the right fitness, the right stuff you're putting on your body, the right mindset practices, a heavy dose
of
inspiration.
Sleep.
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 So
apart,
huge.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm taller than you standing on this hill. This is awesome.
For all ostensible purposes, you are taller than me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys exploded. You started in 2010, 2011?
2011, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back in time. Where'd you come from? Where'd you grow up?
You know, I think the paradigm kind of came through because, you know, my family was a bunch of peak performers. You know, my mother was a tennis player, went to the semifinals of Wimbledon.
Wow.
My stepfather was a SWAT team squad leader. My dad was a, you know, famous commodities trader. My stepmom, a naturopathic doctor that worked with all Pat Riley's team. So they all had tools.
Triple A personalities.
Exactly. They all had tools that they had brought with them, and they kind of imbued those tools upon me. So when I had a basketball game, my stepmom would put a napkin full of supplements. I didn't know what the hell they were. Right. But I would take them, and I would notice a difference. You know, right. And my mom would have different mindset practices, different things that I could do to prepare myself, whether it was a test or whether it was a game day. So I got used to that paradigm, and it became a passion, this kind of relentless drive to be the best I could at whatever it was.
A kid could reject that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't, and I think that's a testament to them. They didn't ever push too hard.
Yeah.
You know, they just gave me the tools, and it was fun. I remember, you know, instead of the dad that just pushed me, he pushed me a little bit to play basketball, but the part that inspired me the most was him out there with his buddies playing pickup. You know, and
because you were watching him.
Yeah,
wanting
to be good enough to get in that game because it looked like a blast.
Got it.
You know,
got
so
it.
That was more of the inspiration, and I think that really helped.
So so they guide your path. You get into you have an open mind at this point.
Sure.
to supplements, to a way of thinking and everything. And they're all triple type A. And then what? Go to college?
Yeah, I went to University of Richmond.
Okay.
And I just did the stuff I liked. I took theater, classical civ, philosophy.
Wow. Okay.
I really, you know, want to solve the big puzzles of the world. So philosophy was the natural way that I wanted to go. But, you know, you graduate with a philosophy degree, and I did my best in that academic platform, magna cum laude, whatever.
Nice.
That was easy,
nice.
Right? Following
nice.
that rule set. But then you get out into the world, and it's like, oh, what the hell am I going to do now?
Sure.
So I figured the broadest thing I could do would be to start a marketing company and work with a bunch of different brands. And ultimately, I knew, you know, I wanted to champion one myself, but I didn't know exactly what that was yet. So
when you came out, you didn't get a job?
I started a marketing company and just
right out of school
scrounged up a couple clients. You know, my parents were one. I had a, and then gradually got a few others in different industries and just learned. You know, I was bad when I first came
bad
out.
Marketing.
I was bad at marketing.
Did your parents say, "Hey, we're not paying you anymore"?
They fired me. Yeah,
nice.
They fired me after
nice.
after 2 years. Even though I actually did a pretty good job with them, they fired me. And you know, but by then I'd met some other contacts.
How did that call go? Like, hey, you're just not that good.
It was really awkward how it happened. They actually just took away all my work. And then I went, I was like, I have nothing to do. And they're like, yep, you have nothing to do. It's like, okay, I get it. You don't want me here. I'm out. You know.
But you had some other customers.
I had some other clients, yeah.
Right.
And I was getting better. And I think in that process, just understanding, you know, internet marketing and the game a little bit better. And But still, it wasn't anything I was really passionate about, because even my best projects, when you're in a marketing company, they can get killed by the brand and the company that you're working for.
It wasn't necessarily the brand you 100% believed in. It was a job.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there saying, I want to start my own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been anything.
Yep, could have been. But, you know, I knew enough then at least to know that it should be something that I'm really passionate about. Right. And what was I most passionate about? It was finding the best out of myself, helping others to find the best out of themselves. You know, whether it was my philosophy that was doing that or whether it was a tangible product. So I was really guided in that direction for sure. I just didn't know exactly how it was going to go. And then, you know, I had that conversation with Joe Rogan where I asked him, you know, Joe, because I thought about supplements because my stepmother, obviously had gotten me quite familiar. And I said, Joe, you know, what would be your ideal supplement? And he said, you know, a natural plant-based nootropic. And I said, all right, man, I'm going to see if I can make the best one that's ever been made. And, you know, a lot of research.
How long did that take?
It took a while. Yeah. It took a while. First of all, to even get a manufacturer to make a sample batch and take a chance with a company that had no track record.
Sure.
And then the research on the PubMed, the conversations with different doctors, the athletes drawing in from, you know, I was fortunate enough to have some friends who were top athletes like Bodie Miller, gold medalist, and a different other people who's actually the seed investor in the company.
Wow.
And just work with them on all the things that they used and the research, and came with an initial formula that was strong as hell, like too strong. But I knew we were onto something.
Blood coming out of the ears.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But they liked it.
Yeah. Joe loved it. He probably would prefer that. He's such a savage. He'd probably prefer that original way too strong, way too expensive initial formula.
Sure. And so they come in, and then now it's go time.
It's go time, yeah. Right. I mean, when we had a few other, you know, kind of failed attempts at some different supplement combinations that, you know, but I really marked the founding of Onnit with that launch of Alpha Brain, because that was when Joe came on board. That's when we had a product that had the right ingredients, the right product, and the right market behind it. And, you know, like a real drug dealer, we just sold our initial batch, had net 30 terms. And, you know, we started this company with almost no money. It was $60,000 from Bodie and $50,000 from a mentor friend. And we were off. And we just rolled that initial order into the next order, into the next order.
It's the best way to do it, though, isn't it, when you look back?
It was great. Yeah,
like
it was
a lot
great.
Of, like, I prefer to really be scrappy in the beginning, right? A lot of companies will raise a bunch of money, and you're sloppy if you have a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, right? We had no room.
Right.
Zero margin.
It's right. You're against the wall. And I think that's what makes you successful. I don't know if you agree with that, but one of the things for me is when you have no choice to succeed, you succeed.
Inspiration or desperation.
Right.
And sometimes a healthy mix of both is exactly the formula that you need.
So all right. So you're five batches in. You're making some money.
Yep.
You're down in Austin at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
We just realized, we figured out the formula of taking, because Alpha Brain took 9 different ingredients and combined them into one. These are ingredients that I was familiar with individually, all that had research individually, and put the recipe together in a way that really philosophically made sense.
Yeah.
And then made it simple. Brain, Alpha Brain.
Right.
You know, so kept that simple concept and then duplicated it. Mood, new mood. You know,
like
sport,
it.
Shroom Tech sport. And we started creating formulas that would just make it really easy for people, put the best, most researched, healthiest ingredients we could into a single formula, and then just kept it simple. And then made it even more simple eventually by putting those formulas into a pack that you take in the day, take in the night.
Got it. So you zip. I haven't taken it yet. You're going to give me some. I'll probably.
Hell yeah.
The next podcast, I'm going to be on.
Yeah,
so I apologize.
For sure.
I'm a little off on this one.
But
Onnit. Right?
Onnit.
As opposed to being off.
Yeah. Well, that was a conversation I had with Bodie Miller, again, my good friend, one of the founders.
Yeah.
That's just what we used to describe any time we were kicking ass. You know, he was just really feeling
it.
He was on it.
Right.
You know, if we were in the club and
it just
right combination
clicked.
Of drinks and dancing, we were on it.
Right.
You know? So I thought it was just a perfect name. We just doubled up the ends to make it a brand.
Sure.
And
then you had your experience, thanks to your parents, with the internet marketing and so forth. So
yeah, just failing over and over again for them and for other people and learning. But really, you know, the podcast was what propelled us. You know, we got
So you did a podcast?
Yeah, we got in with, we got in with other podcasts, Joe's podcast, every podcast that we could find, and we tried to keep it as authentic as possible. And I think that's been another key part of our brand.
Got it.
Instead of having these podcasters just do canned reads. Hey, we want to promote this product with this angle.
Sure.
We'd send them a box of all of our stuff and say,
try it out.
Try it and talk about whatever the hell you want. And sometimes they talk about what we wanted them to talk about. Sometimes, like with Adam Carolla, we sent him a box of everything we had. Right. He picked the jump rope out of it, which is like the last product in our product line. He's like, I love your jump rope. We're like, really? That's okay. A nice jump rope, but we're like, go for it. Talk about it, because he was an ex-boxer. He talked about our jump rope. Yeah, we sold a lot of jump ropes, but just the authenticity rather than that kind of canned read that everybody's used to. It's even a different intonation of voice that people understand.
When, like, when you've bought into it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really how we started to grow is through the podcast channel and, you know, a lot of other channels. Now we started a gym in Austin, started to collect a lot of the athletes that we work with, a bunch of the Chicago Blackhawks, Cleveland Indians, MMA, you know, we're huge, got multiple champions at different levels, Cody Garbrandt, Tyron Woodley, the list goes on.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
All right, so next week.
Are we rolling?
Next week is Sean Stevenson.
Amazing guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, you know, he's taken what people would frame as his disability and turned it into his ability, his gift. He is one of the most motivational speakers, positive human beings that, you know, I actually saw him one time at a conference.
Oh, you did?
Series. Yeah. But, and, you know, a previous, not a previous podcaster, but another podcast, Joe Polish, introduced us to him. So it's a great.
So he's in that he's in that genius network.
He is definitely in the genius network, like
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but I got to see the interview, and I tell you, it's quite impactful. So I'm looking forward to watching
it again. Where should our friends?
So if anybody else wants to see it, they should go to iTunes or YouTube or wherever else they can find it.
We'll be there.
Everybody, we've interviewed, I don't know, 200 or 300 people now, and focus, focus, focus. It sounds like you're taking, like, a shotgun approach.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite way. I mean, the focus was total human optimization, right? So we had one focal point, but to do that, you have to go broad. And so it was really different than what a lot of companies have done. And, you know, I think we missed out on some opportunities to take some of these individual product lines deeper, but those opportunities still exist, but we had to establish total human optimization as a concept, and now we can go back and you know work
tighten those up.
Yeah,
yoga studios.
Yeah,
talk about that.
Yeah, well, this was kind of one of those interesting things where before I started on it, there was a brand of yoga that came into Austin. It was called Black Swan Yoga, and you could go there, get amazing yoga, but you'd be listening to hip hop and like metal, and it was just this crazy experience that took the, you know, the kind of tradition and the sacrament out of yoga, where it was just still beautiful and meditative and you know focused on your breath, all the things you want from yoga, but it took that kind of pretense out of it. So it was the hottest thing in Austin for a while, and you know then eventually, you know, as success can do, it kind of
slowed down,
steered things in a certain way with some of the management, and we had an opportunity to acquire it, and I jumped at that opportunity because I knew the potential of what it could be because I saw it at the start, and I knew, you know, with just a little bit of shepherding, we could bring it back to its fullest height, and so, we're able to do that.
So the plan is maybe to build them out.
You know, that's the interesting thing. You know, we have four studios, three in Austin, one in Houston, and every one is super successful. So, and I think that concept makes sense. I think people, you know, they want all of the spirituality and all of the fun. You know, and I think there's been a rift between spirituality and fun that needs to be collapsed in all aspects. Like, if you're not able to laugh at any moment in your spiritual practice, it's the wrong practice.
I like that. Know? I like that. My mother used to teach yoga back in the 70s, 80s, and we had monks in our living room. And for me, as a kid in an Italian neighborhood, it was not fun. Right? That was weird.
Yeah.
And then I created yoga. Which was fun, right? We had weights in the room. We're doing yoga. We're sweating. So I'm with you. All right. So the point of the podcast is to find out what makes somebody successful, or what. Let's define what success is first. Like, what does success mean to you? You were a philosophy major.
Yeah, success to me is doing what you're capable of doing. You know, like really knowing in your heart that you're applying the force that is yourself to the maximum effect possible. And you'll never get full maximum, but at least doing the best you can to apply that force to the maximum
effect. Being on it.
Being on it, yeah. You know, it starts with your mission. Like, what is your mission? What are you here to do? What is the impact that you want to make?
How does somebody find that? That's a tough, you know what I mean? You don't just wake up and know. Me, I just want to do. Doesn't matter. I just want to be doing stuff, be productive, right? But I know a lot of people aren't like that. They don't, well, I got to figure out what I want to do first. not sure.
Yeah, I think what you want to do actually gets in the way of the mission. Like, the mission is, what effect do you want to have? Like, what is the cause you want to have on the world? If you're wind, what do you want to do to the grass? You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So ultimately figuring that out. And it may be something big. You know, look, I want to change the world. I want to, or it could be, I just want to, you know, have a happy family and do that. So it's just understanding what your ultimate mission is. And then you start to find out what you can do to support that mission. But I think people get too lost on their occupation and their profession rather than their mission. Like, what's the ultimate goal? And then we'll figure out the pieces to get there.
Sure. Any kind of advice on figuring out what the ultimate goal is for somebody? Right,
like. I think it's something that we inherently know if we get still and we get quiet enough. You know, it's our calling, and I think it can be rather general. You know, I do a lot of spiritual work down in South America. I work with the plant medicines, and one of the shamans summed it up in a way that I really liked. He said, "Para el bien de todos," which is for the good of all. You know, he's applying his force for the good of all. That path took him into shamanry, you know, working with the plants, providing that medicine. But ultimately, his guide star is very simple, for the good of all. Right. So he's going to do that. And I think, you know, figuring out where that motivation is, you know, because if it ends up being for the good of me, it's easy to lose motivation. Whenever you get too focused on yourself, then you say, screw it. I'm all right. I don't need it.
Right.
You know.
Right. Very selfish, selfishly centered.
Yeah.
So maybe people need to take a hike and be quiet for a couple of days.
Get still.
Right?
So many ways you can get still. I mean, I obviously, as I mentioned, you know, I work with the plant medicines, but I also do meditation and yoga and ecstatic dance. And I've tried, you know, sensory deprivation tanks and so many different ways. Simple, you know, interactions with nature. All of these things can help find the stillness where you're able to chart your course without the interference that kind of comes up.
Throw away the phone for a couple of days.
Yeah,
right.
That's key.
And then it should become clear.
Hopefully. You know, it's the classic vision quest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the vision quest really is going out into the mountains or going into a cave by yourself and just being alone with your thoughts until the thought cycles get slower and longer, and then you eventually find stillness and then are able to chart your course from there.
So we have a farm in central Vermont where Marion and I both lived, and 400 people in town. We've got 50 miles of trails, mountains. So anybody out there that wants to come do a vision quest. And, you know, I've invited millions of people on Facebook, and so we have a big audience, and very few people come.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but maybe people don't want to get still. You know, maybe it's a scary thing.
It is incredibly scary, because what you may find is you may find that you've been off course. And I think that's something that terrifies people. Some people are drawn to it. They want to know and they want to explore. And some people are like, I don't want that mirror that's going to go up and say, hey, what are you doing, buddy?
Sure.
You know, they'd rather just plow ahead. That's a good point.
You meet yourself.
You do.
Right?
You do.
And maybe you don't want to meet yourself.
Yeah. You know, you have to be willing to admit that maybe you've been wrong.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, we're all wrong.
Yeah.
I think we have this idea of perfection that we hold ourselves to, which is total nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to be wrong. We're all going to get off course. The sooner we can find that course correction, the better. Like, don't punish yourself and think yourself as less because you've been off.
I was in a race once, and I learned this the hard way. We were about 30 minutes off course. It was fairly obvious that we were going the wrong way, a team of four. And your ego doesn't allow you to turn around, right?
Yeah.
And plus, you don't want to do the 30 minutes back. And then it became an hour.
Yeah.
Well, if we go a little further, it looks like 18 hours. So you could be off course for quite a while.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Figurative, like in the way you're describing it. And but you got to be willing to turn around, because it gets ugly after a while.
No, it'll just get uglier and uglier until you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way the universe works. And
until
eventually, you know, you'll get benched, you know, like, which is like, hey, you're way off course, you know, you're way out of balance, we're benching you, whether it's an illness or an injury or catastrophe or whatever. It's like, take a seat, you know, we're going to make you get still, we're going to make you,
good point,
you know,
find that's a great way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make my kids study philosophy, because I'm really intrigued with the way you're thinking about the world. And so, Stoicism?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one of the best philosophies to utilize to help, especially with inspiration, to look at everything you know, every problem, every challenge, not as a problem, not every problem as a challenge rather than a problem. You know, right. I think Castaneda, which is, he was a bit of a madman, but I liked him as a philosopher. He said, the ordinary person, everything is a blessing or a curse. For the warrior, there are only challenges.
I like it.
You know, and looking at, not everything is like, I'm lucky, I'm not lucky, but it's just another obstacle. And any kind of person who wants to improve themselves and improve the world, they need obstacles. We need that resistance. Like, yeah. We have to have weights to get ourselves stronger. Like, try doing squats on the moon. It's going to be useless.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Like, we need that force of gravity. And to actually go out and seek that and to want that, I mean, that's the level that's going to propel you to the
next level. Are, our whole business is obstacles. But somebody said to me once, you got to be careful because some personalities will actually create their own obstacles, right?
Almost all of us create our own obstacles. Like, right. The hardest obstacles are the things that our mind fabricates himself. Fears, right. That aren't real, right. Illusions, delusions, the ego, all of these things. They're all ghosts, you know? And actually, when you go straight at them, then you start to realize, like, oh, that wasn't real at all. You know, that was a phantom that was actually bothering me.
Yeah. So the trick then is to understand that this is all, like Stephen Pressfield, I don't know if he wrote Gates of Fire, right? He said to me, it became real clear to him one day as a writer that you wake up and you're going to face resistance every single day. You're going to face obstacles, right? And once you accept that, that's no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the hardest stuff, you know, we look back with hindsight and we say, you know, I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for that really difficult thing because it made me a better person. It changed who I was.
Sure.
So in hindsight, we have that. But why not bring hindsight to foresight and look at all these things that are happening immediately instead of suffering and feeling the contraction and the compression? Say, I'm going to be grateful for this one day. And that'll just change the tone of it. Yeah, it may be painful.
Perspective.
But you won't suffer. Yeah. Bring that hindsight to foresight and you have a whole different world you're looking at.
Yeah. This is good. What did I miss? You know what we should do is you should give the audience two or three things to, I mean, we've talked about some stuff, just recap it, to be better, to get ahead, to be more successful, to be a better mom, a dad, whatever.
Yeah.
What did I boil down? Three things people can do or should do.
I think one of the most important things that you can do is instead of, you know, focusing on the goal that you have. Everybody talks about goals, and goals are so important. You know, really take a step back and focus on the process. Focus on each step that's going to get there, because if you're focusing on these future goals and that's all you're thinking about, you're never actually going to be enjoying what you're doing. You're going to be propelled into the future. You're not going to be in the present moment. And maybe you'll achieve those goals, but the moment you achieve those goals, you'll have a new goal. And so your whole life will be spent in the chase rather than in the enjoyment of the moment. So I think if I had to distill one very important lesson is, yeah, great to have goals. More importantly, have a mission. But throughout the whole process, just focus on the outcome. Enjoy the outcome. Enjoy each step along the journey that's going to get you there. And not worry so much about when you're going to reach that next mark. I mean, we all have social media accounts. We think, oh, yeah, when we get to that 100,000, it's going to feel great. No, it doesn't. It feels exactly the same. Because when you've arrived there, it's nothing. You know, so then you have another goal. But enjoying the process along the whole way, I think, is really one of the key lessons that I've learned in my life and one of the keys to happiness. And that happiness, as you said, is really success.
I agree. If you're not happy, you're not successful.
Yeah.
And Bruce Lee?
Bruce Lee.
I like that.
Yeah. He's, you know,
the master.
He was one of the people who synthesized all these different ideas. And, you know, I really respect anybody who does that. That's what we do with Onnit, too. We try to take all of the best ideas and let the best ideas lead. You know, that was the philosophy of Jeet Kune Do, and that's how I think you reach mastery. It's not defining yourself egoically by, this is the best way, you must do barbells, you must do kettlebells, you must do CrossFit. They're all good. Like, bring it all together.
Be open.
Yeah. Be open to whatever can be helpful. And I think that's how you reach mastery.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
This guy's awesome.
Totally different than some of our other ones recently. We've talked to so many people who've, you know, struggled and grounded out and come out of hardship. I love that he kind of owns the fact that you got to come from where you're at. And where he's at is he had great family, great opportunities, great people, great education, still struggled a bit like we all do, but really found a way to do something cool and incredible. And it wasn't laser focused at the start. He was doing a bunch of different stuff. And then he came on this idea about creating a supplement, which became Onnit, using natural neurotropics to try and get peak performance. So Tell me, guys, there's a whole bunch of stuff I took out of this thing, and I want to jump back in a bit because there's some really neat key ideas, but I want to hear what you guys thought about it.
I thought it was really cool when he said, instead of just having laser point focus, kind of do the shotgun approach. That's kind of what I do. You just like, I actually always thought that they should take shotgun shells and pack seeds in it so you can replant the prairies with shotguns. But the point of like shotgunning the approach.
You may have just started a company right there.
Well,
you could get some guys signed
that's
up for that.
Proprietary information. But but the thing is he would send out the way he sent out his packaging and say like, well, what appeals to you? What are you actually passionate about? And I think like when you give people a platter and a palette to say like, where's your connection? Where can I meet you at so that they can share their passion? It's a lot more applicable than saying like, you have to focus on these supplements or just giving them talking points. It's a lot more organic.
We're in the business of podcasting, and it was interesting that he said that that was his entire marketing strategy. But rather than using podcasts as a canned tool, you know, here's what I want you to say, he just sent them the package, said, you take it, you use it, and then you talk about whatever resonates with you. And I thought that was really cool that he said that that sort of organic approach to letting them be natural and talk about what they want to talk about exploded for them.
Yeah, and he also got great advice, and he had great, you talked a little bit about his background. Again, he had a very good upbringing, but he also had some good friends, good connections, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of young people starting out are going to be able to get to Joe Rogan and get kind of advice from him or Bodie Miller, you know, world-class skier, and have these guys buy in early to what he's trying to do. So when you talked about that he struggled early, what you're really talking about is kind of struggling to find his way. He didn't have some of the struggles that other people face, but still his journey, right?
And I love that he owned it. He owned that he had the opportunity, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, he basically, you're right. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
He's not trying to be anybody else. And he just said, look, this is what I want to do. I want to impact these people, and I'm going to go wide. Yeah. I'm going to go out in this direction. And it sounded almost like, I don't want to say stumbled across, but kind of just stumbling his way into some of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's got an entire, you know, he's got a clothing line, right? On top of the supplemental line.
And the yoga. Guys, what's yoga?
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever heard that, Joe and yoga. I mean, I knew that his background was yoga. I just didn't know.
Sephroga.
Nice.
Yeah, Joe does a lot of yoga. That's something a lot of people don't realize. He does it pretty much every day. One of my first experiences here was at the Bikram studio doing yoga in the middle of a death race. And they both talked a lot about the idea that we have this idea that spirituality, yoga, meditation has to be this heavy, serious, complex thing. And I love that he stripped it down and said, why can't it be fun? Why can't you do yoga with hip hop? Why can't you be having a ball? You know, Joe says, I've done yoga. You know, a bunch of buddies having fun, laughing, doing yoga.
He was talking about, with weights and mixing in a bunch of different stuff in there. Yeah, his own.
Well, that goes a lot to like Spartan's philosophy on endurance races, right? Like, I mean, a lot of these agogis that we're doing, it's a serious like vision, like rite of passage type of experience, but there's also a lot of humor and unexpected things and like humanity that gets woven in.
Yeah, I was still going over some of the cool things that I pulled from the networking, right? So Joe talks a lot about networking, and it's vital for success. And then leveraging that network. I think a lot of us have friends in these positions, like he had one of his good friends, and we just don't ask them, right? So leveraging the networks that we have,
and that you have, but also that you're going to go out and make. I tell you, one of the things that I have found from hanging around with Joe and being part of his network is just finding out really how easy it is to approach some of these people, right? People, again, we've talked about it a million times, people that have want to give, many of them, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll go out of their way to help you. But a lot of people, me included, are reticent to ask for help, right? Or even to approach somebody with an idea. And you find out that if you do, it's the old thing, what can somebody say? No, right?
That's right.
So you just go out and you start talking to these people. It could be random people that you meet at the general store sitting at the picnic table yesterday. It's all about networking.
I mean, talk about, like, I know I always use the same analogy, but like building a soil that can really sprout and grow a resilient ecology, right? Pittsfield, Joe, everything that he's put to amend that soil and all these people that he's brought in really has made like this super powerful.
He's enriched the soil.
He's really done a great job amending it.
Yeah,
but if I may, because they were like, Sephra, don't go immediately to plant medicine, but maybe now we can go to plant medicine.
Get in there.
Okay, because I think, like he says that he works with a lot of plants down in South America, and there are a lot of like, as I would call them, sacred vines and things that people work with. What is it?
Anthogenics.
Anthogenics. psychotropic? Mm-hmm. What's the difference between anthogenics and that? I don't know that word.
If you don't know.
Oh yeah.
We'll put it in the glossary. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, we'll put it in the glossary. But spirituality is fun, you know? I had the pleasure of sitting out on a fast, like they call it a vision fast or whatever it is, but really it's like 4 days in nature, just drinking water by yourself. Oh, and I had
you get a tattoo out of it?
No, I had this one thing with me. I learned, oh no, I'm messing up. Anyways, I probably played that like 60,000 times.
4 days.
4 days. 4 days alone. But actually, like, people are like, oh, the suffering. Oh, you miss food. And I was like, this is a spiritual vacation. I was like, laying out in the sun, you're hanging out with the elk and the geese and the snakes and the whatever. And, deep spirituality. And you say, like, oh, being afraid of meeting who you really are. Well, knock on wood, blessings, creator, I had like the best time ever. So I think anything that you're dealing with, you know, if it's like depression or you feel overweight, you need to cleansing, whatever. I mean, under the guidance of School of Lost Borders is a great school that leads modern day rites of passage in society without a lot of dogma or ideologies or lineage. I mean, they honor lineages, but it's not so didactic that it's not inviting to all people. But the fact is, if you guys want to get truly blissed out and happy, go drink water in the desert. I don't know what that has to do. But back to Aubrey Marcus,
And then you would be on it. Is that right?
Oh, then you are so on it.
It was interesting, though, that he did reference plant medicine. And that really is actually a pretty topical thing right now. You listen to Tim Ferriss. You listen to, I'm reading a great book right now called Chasing Fire. And they talk a lot about how some of these more traditional ways of altering consciousness, whether it's meditation, whether it's fasting, whether it's plant medicine, are allowing us to tap into aspects of ourself and perspectives that we wouldn't normally have. And it really is actually a growing field, and it's interesting to hear him at least talk about it a little bit.
I like how you use the word field. Yeah, growing forest. Or, you know, it was the field in medicinal forest before it got narrowed back down, and now I think it's like that re-remembering, right? Remembering these beautiful gifts that are here to like celebrate and honor. And I could probably talk about this for 1,000 years, but since we don't have 1,000 years,
go leave.
Okay. So I would recommend going to spartan.com/podcast and, you can learn more about our beautiful plant medicine. Probably not, but you can subscribe on iTunes and YouTube, and we'll see you next week.
And before we go next week, I just also want to remind everybody about our charity initiative. And this podcast, I'd like everybody to think about Special Ops Survivors, a charity that focuses on empowering and embracing the spouses of fallen Special Operations warriors. So check out their website, specialoperationssurvivors.org.
Thank you for watching another epic story of success. If you like our message, please share Spartan Up with your friends and subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you catch our show, maybe in the woods. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.